For Christmas this year, Jason and Amy Dixon from Springfield, Ohio, put out a different kind of nativity scene in their front yard. With a big wooden manger and creepy lights and figures of Joseph and Mary and the three wise men looking like zombies. And baby Jesus looking like demon seed with gray skin and demonic googly eyes. Holy nightmare before Christmas, people. Why in the world would you turn the greatest story ever told into the walking dead and make Jesus look like Rosemary's baby? I'll tell you why they did that. Because they don't have a clue who Jesus really is. Because I guarantee you, if they did have a clue, they wouldn't be trashing him. They would be falling at his feet as though dead. Amen. Well, who is Jesus?
The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series for Christmas called What Child Is This? Looking at who Jesus really is according to the words of the angel himself. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the first thing that Jesus is. Jesus is Lord. And to see that, we turn today to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 18. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Paul writes, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you that it's true, and I pray you just convince us this Christmas, Lord, all over again, that you truly are Lord, King and Lord of all things. Pray you just come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In this part of Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is fighting against all kinds of false teaching about Jesus in the Colossian church. And in our text today, Paul starts by saying that Jesus is Lord. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we want to know who Jesus really is. We've got to start by knowing that Jesus is Lord too. Our text this morning, 1 Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18, tells us three reasons why Jesus Christ really is Lord of all and why Jesus needs to be Lord of our lives as well. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus is Lord, is because Jesus is God. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. And I know somebody's saying, well, Kevin, a lot of people think that they're God. Rapper Kanye West claimed to be God and called himself Yeezus, like Jesus. Rapper Jay-Z calls himself Hova, which is short for Jehovah, because he's 5% nation. Black men who believe that all black men are God. Actor Ezra Miller claimed to be Jesus Christ. Singer Gabby Hanna says that she's Jesus Christ. Kevin, I could think that I'm God too. Yeah, but the biggest difference between you and God doesn't think he's you. There is a God, and you are not him. And Jesus didn't just think he was God. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Jesus is God the Son, second person of the Trinity, coexistent and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Because John chapter 1 verse 2, Jesus was with God in the beginning. Before creation ever started, before anything else was, he was. Jesus was already up there before he ever came down here. Jesus is the only person who ever lived before he was born. And then verse 15, when he came to this earth, he was the image of the invisible God. And that word invisible also means unknowable, because nobody has ever seen God. John chapter 1 verse 18, because God is spirit. John chapter 4 verse 24. But 2,000 years ago, God loved us and wanted us to know him so much, he came to us in a way that we could see him. And that's Jesus. Remember that guy?
I'm having a lot of fun here, everybody.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Look at all the pictures. Hello, everybody.
You can take this, right?
Come on, I could do this all day. I wouldn't mind this job. I like this job. I think I might come back and do it again.
Thank you.
Look at that. Mr.
Thank you, Mr. President. You made it possible for ordinary people like us to meet you.
You're not ordinary.
I mean, thank you so much.
You are not ordinary. I can see.
Donald Trump showed us what a president could be like by running the drive-thru at a McDonald's in order to save our country. Remember that guy? Jesus showed us what God is really like by going through hell on a cross to pay the price for our sin in order to save our soul. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. And notice only Jesus, because it does not say here that Jesus is just an image of God. It says that Jesus is the only image of God. The only one. Because you want to know God, you've got to know Jesus. You want to know God the Father, you've got to know God the Son, because Jesus is the only one who makes him known. John chapter 1, verse 18. And verse 15 also says that Jesus was the firstborn of all creation. And a lot of people think that means that Jesus was the first thing created by God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. But that's not true. The picture you see on the screen is me and my dad. That's my father, Robert Garner. And you can tell I look a lot like him. I look like my father because he created me along with my mother. Now, Jesus looks a lot like his heavenly Father too, but not because he was created by God, but because Jesus is God like God. Firstborn over all creation simply means that Jesus is superior to or supreme over all created things. 325 AD, a heretic in the church named Arius claimed that Jesus was created by God. So the Council of Nicaea got together with the Nicene Creed to straighten it out, saying that Jesus is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made or created. Jesus is God. And I've heard it a trillion times. Well, Kevin, I don't believe that Jesus is God, but I do believe that Jesus was a good man. No, because Jesus said he was God. So if Jesus said he was God and he wasn't God, then Jesus isn't good. Don't call him God if you don't call him good. Jesus Christ is Lord because Jesus is God. And that's exactly what the world trashes about him today on every side. That movie for Christmas called That Christmas.
Jesus was a cool dude. A beard, long hair, into woodwork, a hipster basically. He wouldn't have wanted us to do the same boring Christmas story year after year, right, parents? Exactly. He'd want a strictly vegetarian, multicultural fun fest with lots of pop songs and stuff about climate change.
So Jesus is just a soy boy who doesn't want his boring story told year after year after year. And Mother Mary singing that Madonna song, Papa Don't Preach, because Mary was thinking about aborting baby Jesus. And that's a Christmas movie for kids? This year the Human Rights Campaign is putting that billboard all across America. It's Christmas, time for Jesus to come out. We've seen the Human Rights Campaign have nativity scene showing Jesus with two dads and Jesus with two moms and the wise men being gay. Now they're claiming that baby Jesus is gay. Spokesman for the Human Rights Campaign said this: Jesus obviously had same-sex attraction because he had 12 male lovers. So Jesus was gay. And if Jesus was gay, he was obviously born that way. So why not celebrate that at Christmas too? People, it's heresy. God created you in his image. You don't create him in yours. Every year, the city of Denver, Colorado has a Christmas parade. And this year, Faith Bible Chapel, a church in Denver, wanted to have a float with a Jesus on it and a big choir singing praise songs. But the mayor of Denver, Colorado said no and wouldn't allow it. You know why? Because he said Jesus has no place in a Christmas parade. Yeah, because what's Jesus got to do with Christmas anyway? It's Jesus' birthday. He gets kicked out of his own party. Oh, come let us ignore him. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, what does it matter? What does it matter what people believe about Jesus being God? I'll tell you why it matters. Because the number one characteristic of every single cult, they get Jesus wrong. And if you get Jesus wrong, you get everything else wrong too. Jim Jones of the People's Temple said that he was Jesus Christ and led 918 of his followers to commit suicide along with him in Jonestown, Guyana, in South America. David Koresh, the leader of the Branch Davidians, claimed that he was the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Clinton DOJ killed 36 Branch Davidians, including 20 children, when they raided a compound in Waco, Texas. Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, don't put up with anybody, who preaches to you any other Jesus than what you find right here in your Bible. Rashad Jamal is another whack job who claims that he's Jesus Christ. In August of 2023, six people from Berkeley, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis, went missing after he told them that he was God and that he would take them to another universe. Over 2.5 years later now, those people are still missing. Two of them are three-year-old kids, and police are assuming that they're dead. What difference does it make what you believe about Jesus Christ? I believe it's the difference between life and death. Even more importantly, between heaven and hell. Jesus is God because Jesus is Lord. And accept no imitations, because people, the woods, are full of them. There's modern progressive Jesus, who cares a lot more about your feelings and your personal happiness than your soul and your sin and your eternity. And he's so nice, he will never ever call you on anything you do wrong, because right and wrong is just whatever you say it is. So he will never judge you or make you feel uncomfortable. He will never tell you what to do, who to love, or how to worship. And modern Jesus doesn't go to a church. But if he did go to a church, it'd be one of those churches with the pride flags flying outside. He's gay. He's trans. He's pro-abortion. He's Palestinian. He's whatever you want him to be. Modern Jesus does not exist. There's Mormon Jesus. The Mormons call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was started in 1820 with a 14-year-old young man named Joseph Smith, Palmyra, New York, who claimed that he started getting visions from God. 3 years later, 1823, he claimed that an angel named Moroni appeared to him and told him that the American Indians were the descendants of the lost tribes of Israel, and that they had written a sacred history in some kind of Egyptian language on golden tablets that were buried somewhere around there in the hills of Palmyra, New York. He said an angel named Moroni told him that. How do you spell Moroni? That's moron with an I. 4 years later, Joseph Smith claimed that he dug up those tablets, and with the use of what he called a seer stone, an egg-shaped rock, he was able to translate them, and the result is the Book of Mormon. And of course, after that, the golden plates disappeared and nobody ever saw them. According to Mormon doctrine itself, Jesus, quote, is a spiritual brother of Lucifer, unquote. And Mormons also believe that all of us human beings one day will become gods. And then one day in a council of the gods, they decided that Jesus would get the job as the Redeemer, so the devil got ticked off and rebelled. Mormon Jesus does not exist. There's Muslim Jesus. 610 AD, the Prophet Muhammad claimed he started getting visions from jinn or demon spirits, but friends convinced him they were really coming from the angel Gabriel. So he supposedly dictated what he saw to scribes who wrote it all down, and the result was the Quran. Muhammad married a very rich older woman and then later on married a 9-year-old girl, which tells you everything you need to know about Muhammad. Quran chapter 4, verses 157 to 159 says Jesus Christ was not crucified and did not rise from the dead. Muslims believe Jesus is just a prophet and inferior to the prophet Muhammad because Jesus is not the Son of God and does not take away your sins. Oh, the Muslims say over and over again, we believe in Jesus, yeah, but it's not the real Jesus of the Bible. The Muslim Jesus does not exist. There's Hindu Jesus. Jesus who's just a form or expression of God, like Krishna or Brahma. Hindu Jesus does not exist. There's Buddha Jesus. Jesus just an enlightened man. Buddha Jesus does not exist. There's Jehovah's Witness Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses started in 1872 by a man named Charles Taze Russell, who didn't think that the idea of hell was a good thing. According to Jehovah's Witness doctrine and their official headquarters, the Watchtower Society, Jesus, quote, was created as the Archangel Michael, unquote. Jehovah's Witnesses reject the Trinity and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, claiming that Jesus' death on the cross was just a ransom payment for Adam's sin. Jehovah's Witness Jesus does not exist. Last September, two lady Jehovah's Witnesses showed up at my house at the parsonage. They pulled in, got out of their car. I knew exactly who they were when they got out. And I was really nice. I walked right up to them and I said, I'm a pastor. I'm Kevin Garner, pastor of Fox River Church outside of Norway. The nanosecond I said that, one of those women turned right around, got back in her car, started the engine. She was ready to leave. I guess word's gotten around. And I told the other one, I said, the biggest difference between you and me, I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world who died on a cross to pay the price for our sin. And you need to repent of your sin and turn to Christ and be born again, or you're not going to go to heaven. And she looked at me for a couple seconds and she said, well, I guess you're not interested in coming to a Bible study at our church, are you? And I said, no, but you're welcome to come to a Bible study at mine. And of course, we've never seen her. Folks, all those other Jesuses are guilty of identity theft because the only real Jesus is the Jesus in your Bible. Paul says, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus or another gospel other than what you find in here, let that person be eternally condemned. And that's a nice way of Paul saying, let that person go to hell. Because false Jesuses and false doctrines not only deceive, they also damn. When you realize that Jesus Christ is God, you understand there are no other gods. And if Jesus isn't God, there's no God at all. The first reason why Jesus is Lord is because Jesus is God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Jesus is Lord. Not only because Jesus is God, but also because Jesus is the Creator. And that's also what we see here in verse 16. All things are created by Him and for Him. So Jesus wasn't created because Jesus was the creator. Jesus didn't have a beginning because Jesus is the beginning. You say, well, Kevin, I thought God the Father created all things. He did through Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. So in the beginning, Jesus Christ created everything instantly, out of nothing, simply by speaking it into being, by the breath of His mouth, and by the power of His word. And people, in case you don't realize it, that is some rad, lit, awesome sauce right there. Mark chapter 4, Jesus calmed a storm on the Sea of Galilee. You know why Jesus was able to calm it? Because in the beginning, Jesus created it. He was able to speak the sea into submission because in the beginning, He's the one who spoke it into being. Jesus is the Creator. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, but Kevin, what about evolution? Evolution? Are you kidding me? Evolution just a fairy tale for big people who don't want to admit that there's a God. Because where's the proof for it? How did everything get here? Well, Kevin, matter is eternal. The universe has just always existed. Carl Sagan's famous line, the universe is all there ever was, all there is now, and all there ever will be. But that's not true. Every single second, our sun loses 4,200,000 tons of mass every single second. And every single second, it only regains about 1/200th of that, which means the sun is going to have an ending. Folks, anything that has an ending had a beginning. And if evolution is true, that all these things over here evolved from all these things over there, where's the proof for it? Where's the fossil evidence for it? Where's all the fossils of all those things that were halfway between a tomato and a hippopotamus? They don't exist. They're nowhere to be found. Ask your biology professor to show you one example, just one example of one species ever evolving into another species. And you know what? He can't do it. And he knows it. So he'll show you a bunch of pictures of cartoon whales with feet. He'll talk about the two different kinds of squirrels on the opposite sides of the Grand Canyon, blah, blah, blah. But that's not evolution, that's adaptation, and he knows it. People, evolution never happened. We have over 100,000 fossils of dinosaurs. We've got over 3,000 complete dinosaur skeletons. We don't have one single fossil of any transitional form, not one single fossil of any ancestor of a dinosaur, not one fossil of anything that even wanted to become a dinosaur one day. And you know why? Because God created the dinosaurs exactly like we find them in the fossil record. Evolution never happened. And especially human evolution. Because how come we've got millions of fossils of these, and we've got millions of fossils of these, but we don't have any fossils of anything in between? Because they never existed. the dirty little secret about so-called human evolution, all the evidence for it would fit on a card table. Stephen Jay Gould, famous atheist and paleontologist and evolutionist, Harvard University, admitted this. There are no transitional fossils or forms to prove that evolution actually happened. None. Evolution is just generally accepted as truth because the alternative, divine creation by a God, is just too unthinkable. What does that tell you? People, evolution never happened. You were not created by evolution from goo to you by way of the zoo. You were created by God as a special creation of God. I don't need proof that God exists. I am proof that God exists. Jesus is the creator. And Jesus created you. All things were created by him and for him. All things were created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. Billie Eilish sings that song for her entire generation. What was I made for? I know what you were made for. I know what you were created for. You were created by God to know him through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which means you've got a hole in your heart that only God can fill. You can't change that. You can't help that. That's just the way that you're wired. And if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing else in the whole wide world will ever make up for it or substitute for it or fill you up or satisfy you. I don't care what it is. I don't care how much of it you have. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, is the richest man in the whole wide world. He makes over $2 billion a day, lives in a $190 million mansion in Beverly Hills. Just spent $42 million on his wedding in Venice, Italy, to his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez. Jeff Bezos is on his way to becoming the world's first trillionaire. And yet this is what he said in Rolling Stone. With all the success I've had, all the resources that I have, the lifestyle that goes along with it, and in spite of the fact I am now married to the love of my life, there is still an emptiness to it all. Just this empty feeling inside of me that doesn't go away. 28-year-old Kylie Page, one of the hottest porn stars in the entire world, started doing movies when she was 18 years old, won all kinds of awards, best new actress, best virtual sex scene, on and on and on. All the bling, all the cars, all the apartments, all the notoriety. She had the world by the tail. And yet last June the 25th, Kylie Page committed suicide by ODing on crank and fentanyl. And why is that? I'll tell you why. Because it's not enough to have all the likes and follows. It's not enough to have all the subscribers on OnlyFans. It's not enough to have hundreds of millions of men all over the world drooling over you and wanting to do you and think you're hot. It's not enough. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You've got that emptiness inside of you, don't you? And all the Netflix and the video games and the scrolling on your phone and the holly jolly Christmas garbage doesn't take it away, does it? You know deep down inside there is something missing. And I've got to tell you today, what's missing in your life is not something. What's missing in your life is someone. It's Jesus Christ. There is a relationship that you were created to have, but it's a relationship that you do not have because of your sin. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth in human form and died on a cross to pay the price for your sin and then rose from the dead to prove that it was true. And if you confess your sin to God, put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior, your sins will be forgiven, and you can start having that relationship with the God who created you. You're created by Him and for Him, so it's only in Him that your life is ever going to make any sense, that you're ever going to have any peace. Today, the nanosecond this service is over, you don't know Jesus, get out of your seat. You come to the front of this church and pray to receive Christ as your Savior and find out what I'm talking about. Jesus is your Creator. But how many people today reject that? Philip Fanouf is a 51-year-old United Methodist Church pastor from Rochester, New York. And last Sunday, November the 23rd, as part of his announcements to his congregation, he said this.
I am inviting you to join me in a season of creative transformation for myself, and I think for all of us. Imagine, so I get to announce with joy that I'm transitioning. I'm affirming and saying to all of you that I am transgender. And so... The best way to put this is that I'm not becoming a woman. I'm giving up pretending to be a man.
So he put on a dress, a wig, lipstick, and earrings, and now he's asking the people in his congregation, instead of calling him Philip, to call him Philippa. Think it's time to change churches? But folks, even more than that, we need to be praying for him and millions of other people in this country like him, because they're lost and they're deceived, claiming that Jesus made a mistake when he created their body. People, that's not creation, that's self-creation. Jesus is our creator. We don't create ourselves. He's the potter. We're just the clay. You talk about worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Jesus is the creator. He's the one that we worship and praise, especially at Christmas time. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, the Jesus at Christmas, he's not real. Jesus isn't real? How about Santa Claus not being real? Now, realize that Santa Claus brings a lot of joy to a lot of kids who believes he brings them presents every December the 24th. Kids all over the world. But the problem is there's about 2 billion children in the world today under the age of 18. And subtracting all the Jewish and Muslim and Buddhist and Hindu kids that don't believe in him, that still leaves about 378 million children who do. Now, figuring there's about 3.5 children per household, that means Santa has to visit 108 million homes every single December the 24th. And given the different time zones and the rotation of the earth, that means Santa only has about 31 hours to work with on Christmas Eve. So if Santa's going to visit all those children, 108 million homes in 31 hours, that means Santa has to hit 986 houses per second. Which means every single stop, Santa has less than 1,000th of a second to park the sleigh, hop out, get down the chimney, fill the stockings, put the presents under the tree, eat all the cookies, get back up the chimney, hop in the sleigh, and get on to the next house. Now, assuming that all the houses are evenly distributed around the world, that's about 0.78 miles in between houses, which means Santa on Christmas Eve has to travel 77.5 million miles. And for Santa to travel 77.5 million miles in 31 hours, Santa's sleigh has to be going 650 miles per second. Which is 3,000 times the speed of sound. Now, by comparison, the fastest man-made object ever was the Ulysses space probe. It only goes 27 miles per second. And a grown adult reindeer can only run on land about 15 miles an hour. And you also have to figure in the payload of the sleigh. Now, assuming every kid around the world gets something like a 2-pound Lego set, that means Santa's sleigh weighs about 500,000 tons, not counting Santa himself. An adult reindeer on land can pull about 300 pounds. And even if you assume in the air, a reindeer can pull 10 times that amount, reindeer ain't going to cut it, not even with Rudolph thrown in. So Santa would need about 360,000 reindeer to pull that sleigh. But that increases the tonnage of the sleigh by 54,000 tons. So Santa's sleigh would weigh over 600,000 tons, three times more than the Royal Caribbean Wonder of the Sea, the biggest cruise ship in the history of the whole wide world. Now, 600,000 tons traveling at 650 miles per second creates ginormous wind resistance that would heat up the reindeer just like the space shuttle re-entering Earth's atmosphere. So the lead pair of reindeer would absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second each, which means they would burst into flames instantaneously, exposing all the pair of reindeer behind them and causing deafening sonic booms all the way down the line. So the entire reindeer team would be vaporized in 4.26 one-thousandths of a second, or right about the time Santa hit the fifth house on his trip. Not that that matters, because Santa, as a result of accelerating from 0 to 650 miles per second in 0.001 seconds, would be subjected to 17,500 G's of centrifugal force. So a 250-pound Santa would be pinned to the back of the sleigh by 4,315,015 pounds of force, instantly crushing all of his organs and bones and reducing him to a pink, quivering gob of goo. So, Kevin, you're saying that Santa Claus doesn't exist? I ain't saying. I'm just saying. But compare that story to the simple, beautiful story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem to pay the price for our sin. Jesus not only created you physically so that you are a special creation of God, he also wants to recreate you spiritually so that you're a new creation in Christ, so you can find out who Jesus really is and what that relationship with your Creator is really like. The second reason why Jesus is Lord is because Jesus is the Creator. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus is Lord. Not only because Jesus is God, not only because Jesus is the Creator, but third, because Jesus is the ruler. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 17 and 18. He is before all things, so that in all things he might have the supremacy. British Prince George, Prince William and Kate Middleton's oldest son, is second in line to the British throne. And British royal protocol says that whenever that boy and his sister are in public, his sister Charlotte has to walk behind him wherever they go, because the king is always first. The king is before all things. There's the both of them arriving at Queen Elizabeth's funeral about 2 years ago. And notice mom, Kate Middleton, has to remind Charlotte her brother walks in front of her. Goes before all things. So let me ask you this morning, is King Jesus coming before everything in your life? And I know somebody's here and they say, well, Kevin, you say Jesus is Lord. If Jesus is really Lord, why are all these bad things happening all the time? Last Saturday, November the 22nd, there was a teen takeover in Chicago when over 1,000 young people descended on Michigan Avenue after the annual tree lighting ceremony in Millennial Park. That's what it looked like. And of course, 9 people shot, 8 people seriously wounded, 1 14-year-old boy shot and killed, dead. Yep, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. 29-year-old Ruma Lala Lakhwanal, an illegal from Afghanistan, that Joe Biden led into this country because he supposedly helped some U.S. troops during the war. 3 weeks ago, left his wife and 5 kids in Washington State, drove all the way to Washington, D.C., and then shot 2 National Guard troops who were protecting the White House. Killed one of them, 20-year-old Sarah Beckstrom. Another American killed by another illegal that Joe Biden led into this country. And of course the guy was Muslim. And of course as he was doing the shooting, he was yelling what? Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. Allah is Lord. You say, Kevin, why is all this bad stuff happening if Jesus is Lord? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says in the last days, this world is temporarily under the control of the devil. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. But the Bible also tells us in these last days, Jesus is coming. And when Jesus is coming and it's all said and done and the last dog is shot, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. On that day, there will be only one king, Jesus Christ, and his name will be the only name. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Now we do not see everything subjected to his feet, but we see Jesus. Remember when Kamala Harris said this at her campaign rally in La Crosse, Wisconsin, after 2 Christians shouted out, Jesus is Lord?
Ended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally.
He's Lord, honey. He goes wherever he wants. Kamala Harris tried to kick Jesus out of her campaign rally, so Jesus turned around and kicked Kamala Harris out of the White House. And now she wants to try it again. He is Lord. People, our God is God. So the question is he really Lord of your life? Is he coming before all things and he has the supremacy? Verse 18 says Jesus is also the head of the church. Is Jesus Christ really the head of the church in America today? Because have you noticed the funky things that some churches are doing for Christmas this year? Probably didn't need to see that. Is that a church or is that a cat house? Here's another.
It's Christmas. You're just like those poos in Whoville. I want a pony. I'm going to ride it twice and then give it away to have glue made out of it.
Do we really need a live Grinch to tell the true meaning of Christmas? Let me ask you, how many lights, how much sound, how much glitz, how much glamour, how much showtime do you need to make the simple point that Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, born as a baby on silent night, to save us from our sins? Jesus Christ really the head of the church? Is Jesus Christ really the head of our lives? Is he really Lord of our lives? And I know there's somebody here and they say, well, Kevin, I told Jesus, take the wheel. There's people listening to me right now. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus not only needs to take the wheel, he needs to pull over and spank you with his flip-flop. There was a wedding. Service was over. All the gifts were unwrapped. The reception was over. And the newlyweds, Jason and Amy, were driving away from the event center. And Amy said, Jason, that was a wonderful ceremony. I loved it so much. But now, would you take me home? And Jason said, well, I can't go home. We're just starting our honeymoon. And Amy said, I don't mean that home. She said, I mean my parents' house. Could you take me back to my parents' house? What? He said, well, Jason, I love you. And I accepted you as my husband. But now, take me back to my parents' house because don't expect the fact that I accepted you as my husband to change the way I live my life. Now, don't get me wrong, Amy said. I do love you, and I have accepted you as my husband. And I'll come visit you on weekends if it's convenient. And I'm so glad you committed to taking care of me, because when I get sick, when I need money, when I have a problem, I'll call you because I've accepted you as my husband, and I love you. But now, take me back to my parents' house, because don't expect something that I did at church to change the way I live my life. Sound familiar? Is that the kind of relationship that you have with Jesus Christ? Everybody wants to accept Jesus as their Savior, but no more. But see, the Bible says you not only accept Jesus as your Savior, you're also supposed to confess Him as Lord and make Him Lord of your life. Because you'll never receive what Jesus really gives if you don't receive who Jesus really is. Because Jesus Christ really is King and Lord of all. King and Lord of all and control of all things. Last Wednesday, November the 26th, a tornado ripped through Houston, Texas and parts of Harris County with winds over 100 miles an hour. And Jeff and Tally Aker and their two little kids heard that tornado coming toward their subdivision outside of Houston. So they started praying, Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us. And because they didn't have a basement, they ran into a closet in the hallway and they all hunkered down as that tornado started to chew into their house. But all of a sudden, they're in that closet crying, Jesus, help me. They realized 7-year-old Ethan was not with them. Where was Ethan? Jesus, help us. Where's our little boy? And then they heard screaming because Ethan had gone into another closet in that same hallway. And they told him to hang on as hard as he could. And he kept crying out, Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us. And about that time, that tornado ripped the roof off of that house. And to their horror, that couple saw that tornado suck their son right out of that closet, right up into the funnel of that tornado, and then threw him, it seemed like, 100 miles away. Jesus, how could you do that? How could you do that? How could you let that tornado take our son? And then they heard this huge crash, and just like that, it was all over with. They started digging out of the rubble thinking, Jesus, how in the world could you let that tornado take our son away like that? How could you let that happen to him? And then they saw that a huge oak tree had blown over in the wind, crashed right on top of the house, and what do you know? Right smack dab on the closet where Ethan would have been hiding. So if Jesus hadn't used that tornado to suck that little boy out of that closet and get him out of there, he would have been crushed to death for sure. And then that couple found their son about 50 yards away. That tornado had tossed him into the softest pile of insulation you've ever seen in your life. Snug as a bug in a rug, not one scratch anywhere on that kid's body. Jesus Christ is Lord and control of all things. And He is holding all things together. even way out there. Last November the 4th, astronomers at the University of Texas used the Webb telescope to find the furthest deep space object that human beings had ever seen, a cluster of galaxies about 13 billion light years away from planet Earth, a cluster called Tumals 0723, 13 billion light years away. Which means if we could travel the speed of light, which we can't, but if we could, 186,000 miles per second, it would still take us 13 billion years to get there. Now, right now, my head is exploding, and so is yours, because we can't even imagine. We can't even begin to imagine how far that is. Talk about going where no man has ever gone before. The universe is huge. The Voyager space probe was launched back in 1948, 1977, 48 years ago. And 48 years later today, it is 15 billion miles away from Earth, the furthest that any man-made object has ever gone. But even though the Voyager space probe launched in 1977 has been flying for 48 years, it still won't be until next November, until November of 2026, that it will be even one light day away from our planet. Not one light year, the distance that light can travel in a year, 5.9 trillion miles. One light day, the distance that light can travel in one 24-hour day. So even though that thing has been traveling 38,000 miles per hour, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for 48 years, it is still not even one light day away from our planet. Which means at that rate, it'll be 49 years before it's one light day away. At that rate, it'll be 72,000 years before that space probe reaches the closest star, Alpha Centauri. At that rate, just to get to the edge of our puny little Milky Way galaxy, one of hundreds of billions of galaxies in the universe, at that rate will be another 460 million years. The universe is unbelievably, unimaginably, indescribably, mind-blowingly, terrifyingly huge. And the question is, why? Why is the universe so huge? Because Romans chapter 1, verse 20 said the Lord makes himself known by the things he creates. So big, awesome universe, big, awesome God. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. But he also created it huge to show us that he's holding everything together. Because what astronomers can't figure out, the universe is 400 billion light years across and counting. Because it's constantly expanding even more. And yet all the stars and planets and rocks and dust only make up about 5% of it, which means there's not enough stuff in the universe to create enough gravitational and centrifugal force to keep everything in the universe from collapsing or falling apart. So there has to be some kind of mysterious force that astronomers can't explain that's holding everything together. And they call it dark matter and dark energy because they don't really know what it is. I know what it is. It's Jesus Christ. Verse 17, in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. And how do we know it's Jesus holding everything together? The picture you see on the screen is something called PSRB 1509, a pulsar wind object about 17,000 light years away from Earth in the constellation Circinus. And it's called the Hand of God Nebula because it looks like Jesus' hand. You say, well, Kevin, why would Jesus create something like that out there in the universe? To blow your mind and to remind you that Jesus is holding on to all things. From atoms to galaxies, he holds it all. Now, the picture on the left looks like Jesus' hand holding on to his crown, all of his majesty and all of his power and all of his authority. The picture on the right shows a red dust cloud, makes it look like the devil is trying to attack. And trying to take Jesus' crown away. Because the devil is going to try to attack and destroy us. But notice, Jesus never lets go of that crown. And because Jesus never lets go of that crown, Jesus never lets go of you. People, there is a Jesus who spoke you into being. And created absolutely every single fiber of who you are. And loves you with an everlasting love. So when it seems like everything is slipping through your hands, notice, it's not slipping through his. And how do we know that it's Jesus who's holding everything together? The most important kind of protein in your body is called laminin. And why is laminin so critical? Because laminin is that thing that is holding all of your tissues and all of your organs together. And when you take that protein laminin and you flatten it out and you look at it under a microscope, what does it look like? It looks like Jesus Christ on the cross. It looks like the cross of Jesus Christ. So folks, what's holding the universe together is exactly the same thing that's holding you together. And here's the kicker. Back in 1992, NASA scientists discovered something they called M51. The center of what's called the Whirlpool Galaxy, about 38 million light years away from planet Earth. And scientists absolutely could not believe what they saw. Because the center of M51, the Whirlpool Galaxy, there was a monster black hole about a million times bigger than our sun. And a black hole is like hell because anything that goes in there never comes out and it dies forever. But right at the entrance of that black hole, there's three dust clouds. And when viewed by the telescope, what does it look like? It looks like Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the shape of Jesus Christ on the cross. And where? Located right at the entrance of that black hole. And what does that tell us? Folks, what's holding you together? What's holding the entire universe together? What's keeping everything from going to hell? It's Jesus Christ on the cross. So from all the way down in here to all the way up there, from the microscopic to the majestic, He is Lord. He is God. He's the Creator. And He is the ruler of all things. And nothing, absolutely nothing will ever, 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 ever be able to snatch you out of His hand. So what child is this? Born in a manger in Bethlehem at the first Christmas? He is Lord. He is God. He's the Creator. And He's the ruler of all things. That Jesus Christ is Lord, that's a given. That's a fact. But that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, that's a choice. That's a decision that you have to make. And I've got to tell you this morning, if you're not trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior already, you are in rebellion against the only God there is. And one day you will stand before God on Judgment Day and you will give an account for rejecting Him. This God who loved you so much, He put His only Son, Jesus Christ, through hell on a cross that your sins could be forgiven. Today you're not saved. The nanosecond this service is over, get up out of your seat, come to the front of this church. We'll pray together. You can find out who Jesus Christ really is, because He really is Lord. And He really is holding on to all things. And He always has been. Even in the darkness, there was Jesus. Even when you couldn't see Him, there was Jesus. Even when it seemed like everything was slipping away, it wasn't slipping away from Him. There was Jesus. When your spouse told you you didn't want to be married anymore, there was Jesus. When your kids broke your heart and rocked your world, there was Jesus. Because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over your PSA number. Jesus is Lord over your MRI. Jesus is Lord over your messed up family at Christmas time. Jesus is Lord over the worst thing that ever happened to you in your entire life. Jesus is Lord over the biggest hurt that you've ever suffered in the whole wide world. Jesus is holding on to you right now, because Jesus was always holding on to you back then. Always, always, there was Jesus.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, I start to fall. There was Jesus. And when this life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been. Yeah. for forgiveness at a price I wouldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus.
Yeah.